Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
It's the only show with better than average gas mileage.
I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we talk about things we're into, over, and looking forward to. The Abbott brothers get the review treatment, and The Scope wins the Nobel Prize for podcasting. They have that, right?
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for Scope episode 82.
We're rocking. 82. Wow.
We're rocking and rolling.
We're in the 80s now.
I know.
I can't wait to get my, my big shoulder pads and crazy fonts. Get my cocaine habit. I'm looking forward to that, too.
When we reach 100, then we just stop the show. So, everyone, be ready for it.
Is that because the Mayans predicted the show would end at episode 100?
2012. It'll probably tie in all together and we'll be in big trouble. If you're listening carefully, you can clearly hear that there are only two voices speaking at you today. That is because Adam is on sabbatical once again. Crowd loves it. The show moves a lot faster. It's less snarky. Jared and I can finally do what we want to do without Adam being here.
Which is not talk about Jewish heritage.
Although, there's a part of me that really wants to, but I can't speak on it with any authority. So best to leave it alone.
Right on.
Jared and I will try to lead you through episode 82. We'll be your tour guides to all things Scope today. We're going to do.
Please don't touch the exhibits.
Don't.
They're very rare, and they're expensive to maintain.
And if you do touch them, we will send Jared's girlfriend down, and she will beat you because she is our security guard.
I don't think she's beating anyone.
She's going to pull out the big mag light and just start whooping people.
She likes to avoid conflict at all possible.
Well, I think today might be the difference maker. If people are interfering with our show,
okay,
she doesn't like that, I'm sure. Well, maybe she does. Who knows?
She does like the show.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
We listened to a couple episodes on the way back from Omaha on Monday.
It's good to hear that some of our loved ones actually listen to the show.
Some of us know how to. Some of our loved ones know how to operate an iPod. So.
That's a good point. My house very archaic. So we've got a lot to talk about. Luckily, only two people to do it, so we'll buzz through it quickly. At the beginning of the show, I want to start with our fall TV update. I'm sure everyone wants to know about the first show that has been canceled this season. It is the Ashton Kutcher show, A Beautiful Life.
One episode.
Misha Barton, I believe. Is that her?
Yeah, the Misha Barton. Formerly of the OC.
Coked out. The worst actress on the OC. Worst actor or actress on the OC, by the way.
Did they ever call it the OC? Was that ever something they tried to sell?
They never did. I think that would have implied some sort of octopus and squid stuff, and I don't think people like that.
Yeah, I guess not.
So that show was canceled, but between Jared, Adam,
did they say why?
Low ratings. I don't know.
After one episode, that kind of tells me they had no faith in it to begin with. It was ready to. They were just going to. Like, they had 1 week to fill and said, let's put this on.
The CW is not really known as a real network, so who the hell knows what's going on there?
Yeah.
So, really, what happened is that Jared, myself, Adam, and Molly all picked shows to be canceled in our yearly contest. None of us picked that show. So, we didn't pick correctly, but since one of our shows has not been canceled, we will continue with the contest.
Right. It's the first show amongst the ones we picked to get canceled, not the first show overall. So therefore, there will always be a winner. We can't not win.
The Scope always has winners. And yes. I'm quite worried about my selection, which was Eastwick. From what I know, it's getting pretty good ratings.
Really?
So I probably am out after being in the running almost every year we've done this. Jared, you picked one of the...
I picked Hank with Kelsey Grammer.
And I think that show was just picked up for the full season this
Fantastic.
Week.
Fantastic.
So you are in trouble.
That's great. I always can pick the losers.
The winners. Patricia Heaton show, which either Adam or Molly picked, I don't know.
Which one is that one? In the middle or something,
something
like
that?
Middle.
That one is doing okay, but I don't think it's about... That's been picked up for a full year, but my guess is it probably will be.
Okay, and what was the other one?
I don't remember. What I will say is that...
So what you're saying is we all picked pretty poorly.
Overall, the trend is that new shows in the fall have been doing well, with the exception of the medical dramas, Mercy and Three Rivers. I think they're not doing well.
Could it be that we're tired of medical dramas, Shane?
Well, I mean, we've been doing this show long enough, and we've brought this topic up every year. comedies have always been the whipping boy, at least in the lifespan of the Scope Show. Yeah. This year, not the case. Comedy's doing very well across the board.
Maybe they've figured it out. They figured out how to make the modern sitcom that people will watch.
I agree with that, but I also think that tastes go in cycles, and considering the overall negativity in the country in terms of people being unemployed.
Everyone hates Obama. So
everyone hates
Obama. They're looking to laugh.
He's getting prizes he doesn't deserve, so we need to laugh a little bit, like you said. So I think that has something to do with it. So we'll keep everyone posted on Fall TV.
We can laugh our ways to socialism. That's
absolutely
how it works, right?
I love it. Anyway. You know, everyone gets the same thing, Jared.
Helping
others is not patriotic.
Do you have more TV topics?
I think I'm done with TV.
I was going to say I'm very, very happy with NBC's Thursday night lineup. I think, once again, they're back to must-see TV status, even though they're not using that as a marketing phrase.
Anchored by your love of Jay Leno's new show.
Well, that can go to hell, but I have not watched one episode and I have no interest in watching it. But I just think you've got, you know, The Office has been great. We get 30 Rock back next week, whatever, this week as you're listening to the show. I think Community's been fantastic. I'm really enjoying that. And Parks and Recreation, after kind of a lackluster first season, I think it's hitting it out of the park in the second season.
Following the same trend as The Office did, right?
This week's episode was really, really funny.
Now, if we could only get Jay Leno in every one of those shows.
Yeah. And that whole SNL Thursday thing lasted, what, 2 weeks? And that was
I think they'll bring it. I think they will bring it back. But okay.
It's not as much fun when you don't have a presidential election to tear into.
Exactly. There needs to be politically topical things going on that everyone is interested in. Because it really, at the end of the day, what happens is you just, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's just not as interesting. I don't know.
Nope, I hear you.
So there we go with that. Thank you for your Fall TV update. Yep. I also agree with you on that, and I'm going to throw up Modern Family as well, being a great show.
I hear good things. I'm just not.
I know. It's hard.
I just can't take on any more shows.
I believe that
so far behind.
You would love that show. But
probably.
But, you know, maybe somewhere in the DVD world you can rent it and watch it. The other notable thing I want to talk about, actually a couple things, snow in Minnesota. For those of you that don't know, we do get snow in Minnesota. It is a cold weather climate, especially as we get into October, November. But on average, we don't see significant snowfall until the middle of November. First inch of snow is late November, I think, somewhere mid to late. Well, we both woke up this morning, not together, but we did wake up and looked out our windows and noticed that there was more than a dusting of snow covering our lawns.
How much should we get? Inch maybe?
I'd probably say a quarter to a half.
Quarter to a half inch.
It's already
much. It's melting away.
It's already melting. I mean, it's a very, very balmy 35 to 40 degrees out there.
It's a grim reminder of things to come. Yeah. You know, it's kind of weird because we kind of went from really, really warm to, you know, really, really cold quickly.
We had a pretty cold summer up until the end of it.
Yeah.
And late September August, was early
above,
September.
September was above average, and then all of a sudden just the bottom dropped out.
And it hasn't.
And now it's been, you know, 50s for highs. And
we've been a good ridiculous. 10 degrees below average on temperature. And I'm sorry to bore all our listeners out there, but one thing you need to know about Minnesota is that we overall are obsessed with weather. You know, if we're 2 degrees below average or 5 degrees above, we will talk about it and obsess about it. At least I will. That's because we have weathermen that are pretending they're terrorists because they tease us with all sorts of terrible weather news coming at us. You know,
depends on which channel you watch.
Speaking of Minnesota, the other thing that's going on here is the fact that Minnesota, Minneapolis in particular, is the epicenter of all things going on in the professional sporting world right now.
Yes, the Wolves, they're getting ready to start up.
Wolves and Wild, people cannot get enough of hockey and basketball here in the States. And then we also have a little football team that seems to be doing very well at 4-0. And another little baseball team, a scrappy bunch of fellas who overcame one of the biggest deficits in modern baseball history to sneak their way into the playoffs and now are...
Was it three games down with four to go?
Games with four to go. Twins pretty much did everything right at the end of the season, about the last 20 games or so. Unfortunately, not doing everything right now in the playoffs.
Well, they're up against the best team in baseball, the Yankees, as always.
The best, most expensive team in baseball.
New Twins, stadium where they got to show off.
Twins have a curse against them, I think. That's BS. Twins don't play well against the Yankees. Ron Gardenhire, manager.
It's weird, though, because they often lead the game early, and then they lose it.
Yesterday, being Friday, the Twins were up 3-1.
Yep.
Bottom of the ninth, gave up a 2-run. Our lockdown closer, Joe Nathan, gave up a 2-run homer. He has not been as strong the end of the season. He's struggled a little bit.
Some have said he's tired. He's worn out. It's been a long season. So.
Well, he was very frustrated. Another thing that happened in the game is our man Joe Mauer hit a ball. Clearly, if you look at the replay, it was a ground rule double. It was called out or a foul ball. So that could have had a huge impact in the game. And eventually, the Yankees do what they do best. They wear you down, and then they crush you. And that's what happened with the Twins in Game 2. They're coming back to the Metrodome Magic, you know, the stadium that's
Mall
closing.
Mall of America Field at HHH Metrodome.
I know.
Teams are unbeaten on that field, Shane.
They can't be stopped. So we'll see if the Twins can win one against the Yankees. Me being the pessimistic person I am, I picked the Yankees in 3. I did not think the Twins would win, and I continue to believe that. Jared, do you think the Twins will win a game at Metrodome?
I think the Twins can take the first game, but I think they're going to lose Game 4.
They're not going to win 2 in a row against the Yankees.
It's a tough one. The Magic can only go on so long.
The thing that bums me out about the Twins and the front office of the Twins is they don't put the money into the team. We're a small market team. We don't make a lot, but at the same time, I think that you have to put a product on the field that can compete in the postseason. Twins haven't done that for years. We had one good run a few years back where we made it to the championship, American League championship game or whatever series. Didn't win that. But yep. Usually we're in and we're out. And it's a little disappointing.
It's nice to be in, though.
It is, absolutely.
It's nice to be competitive.
I just hope that getting in with a record of, I think, 87 wins doesn't fool the ownership into thinking that we don't need to invest in at least one lockdown starting pitcher, because we don't have that. We need our starting pitching staff is terrible.
Not since Johan Santana was traded away. Yep. And
Liriano got hurt and never regained his form.
And he came back and wasn't even a starter.
No, he's terrible right now. So I think it's a good thing and a bad thing.
They like to develop from within, though.
They do
a farm system,
but hasn't for the last few years not as solid. Finally, let's get into the Vikings.
Yes,
talk. Everybody loves talking about the Vikings. There we go. Vikings 4-0, one of the I think 6 undefeated teams in the NFL right now. Is that
5 or 6? Yeah,
5 or 6. Have we beat anybody good, Jared? Are we? You look at some of the power polls from the national sporting magazines and some news sources.
Yeah.
Vikings anywhere from 3 to 6. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're not. Yeah, they're definitely not good enough to be 1 or 2. As far as them beating anyone good, I guess if you listen to the preseason polls, the Packers were expected to be dominant, and they haven't been. So, do you consider them a good opponent? Probably.
And it's also one of those things where if you're playing a division rival, any divisional game is tough.
It's tough. It doesn't matter if they're playing well or not the rest of the time. So I think that's a quality win, and I think San Francisco is better than people expected them to be.
San Francisco could win their grouping.
Their division.
Yeah.
I think they will win their division. I mean, look what they did to, was it St. Louis they played last week?
Was it St. Louis?
I forget.
Louis?
But they shut them out.
Whoever they played,
they just
killed.
Destroyed them.
Yeah.
Defensively too, so
their Cardinals not playing at all with the gusto and might that they did last year. So I think they're going to be in rough shape.
So I think that's another quality win. And yeah, they first 2 weeks they let teams hang around, but it's the first 2 weeks. Things are still getting worked out. Favre's still kind of new, but now Favre's clicking.
I think that that the Vikings without Favre 2-2. They're an average team at best because our starting quarterbacks that we would have had could not have pulled those. The 49ers game would have been over.
Oh, definitely.
I think the Packers game might have been a little closer, but I think that's easily a losable game for them. So I think, and I've been in support of the Favre move since day one, and I stand by it, and I'm very happy about that. So
there's always the concerns that he's going to last, and you hear tales about him having some nagging injuries and how it takes him longer to recover from injuries now and stuff like that, and how his arm feels great, but everything else kind of hurts. So.
I think some of that is a bit of hyperbole and smoke and mirrors, if you want my opinion.
That's fine.
I think that he puts that out there to whatever, you know?
I'm happy that the pass protection improved, and he wasn't knocked on his ass a million times.
Vikings play the Rams tomorrow. Jared, what are the Rams got to do to win the game?
That's a tough one. I mean, that's a game the Vikings should win outright.
Should be a roll.
They should.
But it's a trap game, I think.
It's always a trap game. Because
every game's a trap game.
Well, the Rams haven't won in a long time, so you never know when they're going to get it together and just pull out something. But
Rams will blitz, I will say, 60 to 70% of the time. That's when the offensive line of the Vikings struggles. The Packers did not do that. They chose to stop the run instead. But I think that you have more success by blitzing, getting a lot of players into the mix, hoping you can stop the run and put pressure on Favre.
Here's the thing, though. When you blitz a lot, now that Favre seems to be on the same page with his receivers, that's when a quarterback, as long as he can get the ball out quick, can just tear you to pieces. Don't have the help over the top. And, you know, if he can diagnose where the blitz is coming from, he'll just throw right in that direction and look out.
Sidney Rice, Bernard Berrien look like all pros last week, making the catches they should be making. Sidney Rice especially came out of his shell.
I wouldn't call Bernard Berrien an all pro quite yet. He should have been in a better position on that one late pass that he caught but was out of bounds.
So. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that you've also got Percy in there, who is always a game changer. But I got to think that in terms of offensive weapons, between a great quarterback, serviceable to good wide receivers, a great tight end, one catching, one blocking, and the best player in football, that offense has to be considered one of the most dangerous offenses in football if things work out for them.
Well, I mean, the Saints are still going to be the best offense this season, but... But the Vikings, now that they're making improvements every week, so at some point that passing game is going to be legit and be respected, and that's going to open things up for Adrian Peterson.
Absolutely. One final thing before we move on to the rest of the show. The next three games for the Vikings, we got the Rams, in St. Louis, followed up with the Ravens.
The next two games I'm worried about.
Ravens in Minneapolis on Mall of America Field, and then the last game that... really is the end of this hardship would be the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh. Vikings, what's going to be their record after these three games, Jared?
I think they'll be 2-1 through those, so that'll make them, 7-1?
6-1, yeah.
And with one more to go before the bye.
I think that it is very important for them to win one of the games against the Ravens and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think the bigger challenge probably is going to be the Ravens.
I agree.
I think they're...
Although Pittsburgh's playing better.
They are, but their defense is going to challenge I'm going to say it, uneven Vikings offensive line. Had a great game against the Packers, but let's be honest, the concern was Favre wouldn't make it through the season after the first three games. I think that that's going to be the challenge, and I'm hoping that Adrian Peterson will step it up that game and...
He's trying.
...then take care of business.
I mean, they're still stacking the line on him, so it's tough.
Well, I'm excited about it. I want them to get through the Rams. I don't care how they do it. And then really focus on some of these tough games coming up. Suck it, Packers.
Right on.
So that's sports talk.
I'm sorry, they have Packers again before the bye, don't they?
Yeah, I think the Packers are the next game after
week 8, and then finally the bye. Jeez.
So I think it'll be interesting, depending on how the Bears do the rest of the season, because the Vikings play the Bears twice late. It could be a division super battle if things keep playing out the way they do at the end. I like it.
Yeah.
So this week on The Scope, Jared, we have got a brand new segment. It's called Into It, Over It, Into, Over, and Looking Forward to It. It's really one of those things where Jared and I pick things that we're looking forward to, we're over, and we're totally into.
Would Adam be allowed to play if he were here?
Adam would totally be allowed to play. He'd probably pick three over it.
Probably. He gets over things quickly.
He wouldn't be in anything. Yeah, he would be talking about the things that he's looking forward to, and then by the end of the segment, he'd be over the end of the segment.
So he's big turnover with that guy.
Very quick. So maybe that's the reason why we don't have him on the show. We're doing something, I wouldn't say brand new, along with that in terms of our reviews, but we are taking a listener request for a review this week.
Right.
We'll be reviewing the new album from the Avett Brothers. They are an East Coast, I think they're from South Carolina band.
Brothers?
Two of them are brothers. Okay. Yes, indeed.
Make sure.
We're going to be doing that, and then
we've had people falsifying their records in the past, so I just want to be certain.
And then after that, you know, we always get into what's new in news and what will be coming soon. So it's a full show with two guys. I'm hoping that Jared and myself can handle it. You'll find out if we can right after this.
I should probably do something.
Sorry, that was I thought you were with me.
I wasn't. Try it again. Set it up.
Okay. I hope that Jared and I can handle it right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is Fandangled Mandangler. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
We'll be right back. everybody. Welcome back to Scope, The Scope, The Scope Show, episode 82. Jared and myself are handling it all by ourselves today.
Wow, a lot of handling it.
I know, and I don't know if we'll be able to do it, but we'll push on. I'm going to introduce right now.
This is my generic music I play when I can't find anything else.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself before you started playing that, I wonder if we're going to hear that, and sure enough, we did.
Ugh, I'm just like, what do I do for this segment? Ah, screw it. I'll break out that other piece.
I love it. So this segment, we've entitled it Into, Over, and Looking Forward To. We've got a selection of things that either we love,
I'm over being awake.
Or looking forward. You got to bring it, Jared. Were you up late last night?
No, not really.
Me either. But yet here we are. We're exhausted. So what should we start with, Jared? Should we start with the things that we're into?
Probably.
And then we'll go to the things we're over.
Okay.
And then we'll go to the things that we're looking forward to, since they're not really out right now.
Present, past, and future.
I love it. So let's start with into. Do you want to start this out, or would you like me to start it out?
I'll
let you make all the choices.
I guess I can start it out.
I'm excited about that. What are you into, Jared?
Shane, currently I'm into, we've talked about it a lot on the show, and we're going to talk about it some more, the Beatles.
I
go through a cycle of 18 to 24 months where I just kind of get obsessed with them. And this time with the... I'm not sure what triggered it last time, but this time...
2 years ago, you're talking?
Yeah, about, I'm going to guess. But this time, obviously, you've got the re-release of the music.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Beatles Rock Band.
Yep.
And those are the two big things that kind of got me right back into it. And
when
I'm into it, I'm like, you know, I've got the playlist, and that's kind of what I listen to. I want to say without exception, but it's definitely something where I'll put that on shuffle and I'll just listen to stuff in the car while I'm doing stuff. It's good fun. And I've been listening to the remasters, and they sound really, really good.
Are you just a follower, a sheep, if you will? You know,
no. I grew up listening to their music. My dad played it all the time.
Of course.
So.
I mean, you understand the genius of this band. Since Adam isn't here, let's really get into it. These guys, man, they're the real deal. They will be the real deal forever, won't they?
I think people are going to remember them.
They're not going to be replaced by Chingy or maybe Christina Aguilera.
What happened to Chingy? Wow. That's an interesting one to pull out.
I just like to say Chingy.
I was thinking Kumo D myself.
For all you youngsters out there, look it up.
Anyway. So I've been listening to the music, playing the game, which obviously I own now because mm-hmm. I was given as a birthday gift. we started watching the anthology again, Angie and I. Haven't got to it recently because our daily show and stuff came back and Top Model started, so
mm-hmm.
and all my other shows. So we just haven't had time to really watch anything outside of the current lineup of programs. But that's something I'd like to get back to watching because she's enjoying it just because she hasn't known a lot about the Beatles and it's really filling in the gaps.
Yeah. We're two parts into the Beatles anthology. We have the third recorded because VH1 replayed it. So
I see.
And by the way, Jared, as a slight tangent, I was looking at your window behind you and there was a wasp flying around. It's now sitting sort of on the sill area on that far corner. You can kind of see it flying around. It's trying to escape into the snow.
Awesome.
Just telling you that.
I'm very happy about that.
I hope you don't get stung. I'll keep my eye on it.
Me too.
I think it's close to being dead, but what do I know? Favorite Beatles album, Jared? You've been listening to the remasters, Abbey Road. Favorite song on Abbey Road? Can you do that?
Side two? Can I say side two?
You can say that if you
like. I don't know. There's so many I like. I don't know. It's just to me, it's just like the quintessential album. It's kind of like...
Pure package perfection.
Yeah,
Triple P.
It feels like an album they just decided that, you know what, we've got one more go at this, let's do something really great.
And it's
the culmination of everything they've been building on for the past 6 years prior. You know, everyone's kind of, you feel like George is finally on equal footing with them a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's playing really great. The songwriting is stellar. It ends weirdly with that little Her Majesty song. It's like that was kind of a weird thing to put at the end because everything ends so great.
What year was that released, Jared? 71?
69. Yeah. Let It Be was released in 70,
okay.
But was recorded prior to.
Gotcha.
And after Phil Spector got his hands on it.
That damn Phil Spector.
And I also have a book that I bought during my last Beatles craze phase called Recording the Beatles. It cost me $100.
Wow.
It's a big hardcover book. Goes into extreme detail over the recordings of them. I believe it. I haven't read it yet, which is
like,
I want to start reading it because it's just Here's the thing. It's like a big coffee table book, mm-hmm. and it's probably 2 inches, 3 inches thick. It's
Ooh,
huge.
Boy.
And it's like, I haven't really figured out how to handle it to
yeah.
read it. It's
you
like
don't
you almost,
ruin it.
It's like you almost need to be at a table, and that's just not really easy
how you
to
do.
Do
things,
so.
Yeah.
But it's it goes into the equipment at the studio. I believe it has like you know full schedule of events of how each song was recorded. So
it's amazing that there's records for that sort of thing.
Yeah, well,
especially
EMI,
back in those
EMI
days.
Studios kept meticulous
yeah.
records.
So do they get into personal stories, or is it mostly just about the technical aspects of it?
I haven't read it, so I don't know how personal it is. What does get into a person more personal stories is Here, There, and Everywhere, My Life Recording the Beatles by Jeff Emmerich, who was an engineer who worked with them during their most experimental phase.
Oh. Do you own that book?
I do, and that's a great read.
Would you loan it to me someday, John?
Sure, sure.
I would love to read that book.
That's fantastic. I mean, he starts in at the end of Revolver, I think. With Tomorrow Never Knows, and then takes off through Sgt. Pepper and all that stuff. So
nice,
yeah.
I like your
good.
I like your Beatles coverage.
Good
you
stuff.
Know? Don't let it die, man. So what am I loving right now, Jared? This is kind of, this will be an odd thing, but I'm going to get into it. We don't talk comic books that much, but
okay.
The comic that I've been reading and enjoying a lot lately, believe it or not, is the rebooted G.I. Joe comic book by
wow.
IDW. G.I. Joe comics been around since 82, 83, done by Marvel Comics, and stopped in the mid-90s and then picked up later on in the early 2000s with the 80s craze. There's sort of a retro phase where Transformers and G.I. Joe and Voltron and Thundercats, all that crap just sort of came back into it. A lot of those comics have died, but the two that have remained in some form have been G.I. Joe and Transformers. This is a bit of a controversial book for G.I. Joe fans because instead of following the continuity of previous iterations of the book, which they had been doing, they decided to reboot.
Okay,
which really means they keep a lot of the same almost all the same characters, but they may shift their behaviors or some of their attitudes a little bit. But they look approximately the same. They brought in some, you'll make you cringe, Jared, when I say this, but they brought in maybe some things that might be inspired a little bit by the movie, but not very much. So, for example, Cover Girl.
I didn't hate the movie, Shane.
Cover Girl has blonde hair. I mean, stuff like that that's kind of crazy. But
was she a brunette before?
She was a brunette-y, redhead type. Okay. But really,
whatever paint color they had on her.
Exactly.
Hand.
But the cool thing about this is this book is very respectful to... Very, very respectful to the characters and the pedigree that came before it, but at the same time they upgrade it and make it with smarter writing, things that maybe are a little more applicable to the real world. They're about 10 issues in and they still haven't really brought in Cobra. It's kind of this.
Who are they fighting then?
Well,
are they fighting anyone?
They're fighting people.
They're talking about their feelings.
They're fighting people that work for Cobra.
Okay,
but they're sort of behind the scenes right now. They know that there's some threat possibly coming, but they don't know what it is.
So it's kind of more of an Al Qaeda approach to terrorism.
Exactly.
Got it.
And they had a really interesting one-off issue that featured a communications officer who ended up ended up being kind of a conspiracy thing because you know his job was to comb through all the data like someone that would do for Al Qaeda trying to figure out terrorist messages, and he started putting things together that were leading towards this terrorist organization Cobra, and nobody believed him. So the whole issue was him trying to convince them that this is happening, and eventually he had to go on the lam because they thought he was nuts. And
wow.
And so he's trying to help the team from afar, sort of behind the scenes, back channel stuff, and they don't know what's going on. It was really interesting and something that had never really been done in any of the other comics versions of this, or the cartoons, or even the movies. So I've been enjoying it, despite the price, which I'll get into a little bit later. Written by Chuck Dixon, a longtime comic book writer. Some art done by a bunch of different people. That's my only slight beef with this is I think they could have got better artists overall.
And it's different people.
It's so far it's just been two guys. So
okay.
They have like a main guy, and then he'll do six issues, and the other guy will come in for four, and you know they kind of go back and forth because it's hard to do a monthly book like that. So that is what I am into right now.
Wow.
So let's talk about what we are over. And Jared, I'm just going to jump right into this because it ties into what I'm talking about.
You're over the G.I. Joe comic.
I'm over G.I. Joe. Actually, what I'm over is higher comic book prices. For the longest time, comics have been $2.99, which in itself is expensive for what you get. You or me or anyone else that goes can read a comic in probably 10 minutes, maybe. You know, you can go through and reread and do crap like that. But the reality is that you're paying a lot of money for a little bit of bang.
$3 for 10 minutes of entertainment. Yeah.
Well, guess what? The Marvel recently raised all their prices by $1. And that's very...
Oh, my God.
Or for, I would say for about 80% of the comics. Not everything, so but a good chunk.
$3.99.
So $3.99 is the price for comics. Holy the G.I. cow. Joe, the all comics by...
No wonder kids can't get into comics anymore. They're way too expensive.
IDW, all their comic books are $4. DC, not quite so much, but I'm sure they'll follow suit. And I guess the thinking is if people still buy them, we can get away with it.
What would you say you spend monthly on comics?
Well, here's the thing. I cheat a little bit because I have started going through a mail order comic book place, and yeah. You get some pretty steep discounts. If I were to buy comics in the store, paying tax, I believe I probably would be paying with what I get $70 to $80 a month.
Wow.
Right now, I have a limit of about $45, so it's about $10 a week. It's like buying a book, really, a book a week, which I can justify that because. You know, it's a long time habit, but I think that's fair. I think $40 to $45 is okay.
Yeah,
$10 a week, but I wouldn't spend any more than that. The other problem is that for the people that want to shift over to just buying graphic novels, they've started to raise the prices on those too. So you're not getting a significant discount on any of this stuff unless you're really working hard. And I don't know what the future holds for comic books. Will they go to a digital format? Will it eventually just switch to graphic novels and you won't buy weekly comic books anymore?
It seems like you can't continue this trend of price increases. Now, I mean, granted, the quality has gone way up. They use better paper, better coloring, you know, the printing's better. Everything's better, but at one point is better worth the cost.
Exactly. And kids can't, you know, if a kid wants to read an X-Men comic book, maybe a Hulk comic book, an Avengers comic book, and a Superman comic book, kids can't afford $25-$30 for three or four things. They're going to spend their money on other things. They're going to spend it on iPods, and they're going to spend it on video games and other stuff in general. I mean, it's ridiculous. Or they'll go online and they'll find the scanned versions of them and pretty much steal them off the internet because that stuff's there out there too. So I'm over that. And one quick thing that I'm sort of over, Jared. A couple weeks ago, we had a awesome time playing video games at our buddy's house.
Yep.
And I think I'm a little over the frantic nature of Left 4 Dead.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's...
And with the sequel right on the horizon.
I love Left 4 Dead, but we played a survival mode. Maybe it's just the survival mode. But I found that the fact that you were constantly overwhelmed by zombies all the time to be so frustrating that it just drove me crazy. And then you compare it to the extra Nazi zombie mode in... Call of Duty
World at War,
yeah. Which is a little bit more deliberate and paced.
Yeah,
and
there's a little bit more of a break. And
yeah, I was kind of bummed out by that. So I'm hoping that Left 4 Dead 2, if I choose to get that game at some point, allows people to survive a little bit more than what the Left 4 Dead did, because it sort of bugged me a little bit. You know,
yeah,
well, the overwhelming odds just was a little too overwhelming.
Yeah, it seemed more like
It
seemed like magic to get to the 4-minute mark.
Yeah. You get last 2 minutes and you're pissed off because it's only 2 minutes. That's not that much fun. So that's what I'm over. What about you?
Okay. For a while now, for mostly over the summer, I was into lagers as a beer. And
I thought you were talking about guys that cut down trees.
No. I think I'm over them. I'm over lagers and I'm ready for something else. Maybe I'm going to get back into ales or something. But I don't know. I don't know. For some reason, it was just like I was drinking a lot of Grain Belt Premium, occasional Miller High Life, and like cheaper lagers I was into.
Really?
It wasn't like even like expensive lagers. I found the light and refreshing and still good enough flavor. Are you keeping track of it?
No.
Are you watching time?
No, I just chugged up to see where we're at.
I kind of landed on Landshark lagers being one of my favorites, mm-hmm. and I got that quite a bit. But
Candy Graham.
I don't know. I think that maybe it was just a summer thing, and I'm leaving it behind now. At the wedding we were at over the weekend, there was a local Omaha brew called Lucky Bucket Lager. It was tasty. Wasn't my favorite. And I think that was probably the capper to my lager phase. So I'm over lager, Shane. I'm ready to get back into ales.
Fair enough.
And you know, with the colder months coming, you want something hearty, I guess.
Maybe a hot toddy. You get into that too.
A hot toddy. I was gifted a couple of bottles of booze for my birthday. So maybe I'll take a break from beer for a while.
Nice.
But here's another problem.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I should also say I'm over caffeine. I was inadvertently or unintentionally, I should say, off caffeine for several days while in Omaha. I had some on the drive down on Thursday, and then just for some reason, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I wasn't around it. We drank a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Because her dad has beer on tap there. So
nice.
Drank a lot of beer, and he doesn't drink soda, so there was no soda around to drink in it. So I didn't have any, and that's usually my primary source of caffeine.
Does this tea have caffeine in it, Jared? I can't tell.
Black tea usually does.
Damn it. Because I haven't really been drinking any
caffeine. It's probably really a small amount.
Okay, thank you.
And I wasn't drinking coffee because, you know, we'd get up kind of late, and I don't know. I usually only drink the free coffee at work. I don't generally drink coffee outside of work. And yeah, so by Sunday evening, I was like, you know, I haven't had any caffeine for a while, which probably explains some of the headaches I was getting.
Oh, yes.
So I just decided to continue the trend. So Monday on a drive back, My usual MO is to buy some sort of caffeinated beverage at the gas station or whatever to keep me going, and I just didn't do that.
You didn't do it.
I didn't do that.
You went with the ding dong instead.
I didn't go with the ding dong.
Snowball.
No.
Delicious.
No. We had some Cheez-Its and stuff in the car, so.
Nice. Cheez-Its.
So I just decided to just keep going and see what happens, and to bring it back home, my original thing is I haven't had any caffeine since that. And I was thinking, you know, I've got this rum I was gifted. And I think, oh, rum and Coke would be good.
Uh-oh.
Guess what? Coke's caffeinated. And I don't have any caffeine-free Coke. So.
Get some of that caffeine-free Coke.
I'm going to have
that's
to
what I get,
get
I
some
it.
Of that. Andrews was saying black. She said it thinks it tastes differently. And I think it tastes a little different.
It's slightly different, but it's easier to get used to than Diet Coke to regular Coke.
Right.
Much easier to get used to because it's sugared. I mean, there's still that sugar in there.
So I was thinking, yeah, a nice rum and Coke would be nice, but I have to get the caffeine-free Coke now because I'm going to continue.
Nice.
I think the headaches have abated. I haven't been getting headaches. I got headaches daily in Omaha. I'm pretty sure it was because I wasn't having caffeine. So.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Here's
over caffeine and lagers.
I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes if you get headaches and you take something like Excedrin to get rid of your headaches,
caffeine.
It's all full of caffeine.
I know.
That's how your headaches
go. I was taking
go.
Ibuprofen, though, so
okay,
I, think
good.
That, I don't think that has caffeine.
I don't believe it does.
So I'm not saying that I'm going to avoid it entirely. I mean, that occasionally will pop in. You know,
you can't help it.
It's unavoidable sometimes. Yep. But I think using caffeine as a maintenance, as a way to get my day going, I'm going to try to.
You don't
avoid
feel
that.
Good about it. Good for you, Jared. I like.
And I haven't felt like I've really needed it now in the morning. You know, it's like I'm still a little sluggish, but I don't. You know, maybe caffeine would give you a little pep, but then you get the crash after too, and I don't want that. So
I like how something that you're over improves you as a person.
There you go.
Way to go. So that leaves one more thing for us to cover, and that's things that we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot going on here. I'll start with mine, Jared.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to the new album from Weezer. It's called Ratitude. The title suggested by the guy that plays Dwight Schrute, actually. Yep. That's where that title came
Rainn
from.
Rainn Wilson.
It's coming out October 27th.
They bumped it up. I thought it was November 2nd or something. Or 3rd.
The date that I'm seeing is October 27th now.
When does it hit the internet, Shane?
I have not checked. But the first single off of the song has been around for quite a bit now. It hit number 3 in the alternative charts. If you're wondering if I want you to, I want you to. The reason I'm really looking forward to this, I'm not a super Weezer fan. I've liked them.
I am.
I've liked them from day one, but I kind of have ebb and flows with these guys. But I think this track sounds
I'm not sure who Ebb and Flow is. Is that a band?
It probably is. Okay. But I think that this
are they bearded?
Don't you think this song sounds different than a lot of stuff they've done, Jared? I mean,
it's different, but at the same time, it still feels like Weezer. So.
I don't know how to pin it down in terms of what makes it different, but I don't know if it's a poppier sound. I don't know what it
it's
is.
It's definitely poppier.
But let's play a clip, and we'll let our listeners be the judge.
Okay.
Stop, and I look down at said, go. If you're wondering if I want you to, I want you to. So make a move, 'cause I ain't got all night.
Maybe. I'm so happy to have them around again.
Maybe a bigger sound, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
It's good.
It just if the album is like that, I think it's going to be a big winner, and I'm excited for it.
I'm just happy to have Weezer.
Yeah,
I mean they were gone for
they're
a while.
Gone,
they were
like, they're back. They're gone. Rivers Cuomo is an oddball. What can I say?
Yeah.
Second thing I'm looking forward to is a video game. It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Activision is saying it is the most pre-ordered game they've ever released, and it's hitting on November 10th, 2009. The first game is ridiculously good. It's one of the best multiplayer experiences out there. The single-player game is awesome. Graphics are awesome. Looks great in high definition. If you're into this sort of thing, it is a cannot-miss game.
It's
I am telling you.
It's fun to play three against one against Earl.
It is, yeah. Yeah, we put, in our big video gaming evening, we played a lot of this, too. Had a great time with it. And I cannot wait for this game. It's right up there with... Beatles Rock Band in terms of things that I've been looking forward to. So wow. So go for it, enjoy it, love it, and also Lego Rock Band as well. Thank you. Jared, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a couple movies that are actually out now. Uh-oh. But I haven't had a chance to see.
Telltale.
First one, Zombieland.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see this movie so bad. It looked really cool from the trailers, and a lot of people have said really positive things. There's been good reviews about it. And
instant cult classic, Jared.
I'm excited. For those who don't know, Zombieland, in the horror comedy Zombieland, focuses on two men who have found a way to survive in a world overrun by zombies. Columbus is a big wuss, but when you're afraid of being eaten by zombies, fear can keep you alive. Tallahassee is an AK-toting zombie-slaying badass whose single determination is to get the last Twinkie on Earth. As they join forces with Wichita and Little Rock, who have also found unique ways to survive the zombie mayhem, they will have to determine which is worse, relying on each other or succumbing to zombies.
God,
succumbing. I sound like I'm, I don't know what.
You did a good job writing that, Jared. It's like you're writing promotional pieces for Zombieland.
I think Columbia Pictures wrote that. I have a clip,
okay.
And it's about getting Twinkies.
Did I pull this clip?
No.
Explosion.
Prospecting? You are a dangerous man. You're gonna risk our lives for a Twinkie?
There's a box of Twinkies in that grocery store. Not just any box of Twinkies. The last box of Twinkies that anyone will enjoy in the whole universe. Believe it or not, Twinkies have an expiration date. Someday very soon, life's little Twinkie gauge is gonna go empty. Time to nut up or shut up.
Time to nut up or shut
nice.
Up, Shane. I like my horror laced with comedy. I don't typically like standard horror movies. So movies like this, Shaun of the Dead, you know, your Army of Darkness series, or whatever.
Evil
you know
Dead.
What I'm talking about.
The Evil Dead,
Dead
series. Yes,
right.
yes.
I like those are the kind of movies I enjoy. So
now you know my feeling about Shaun of the Dead. I think it's an overrated movie. Just because I felt like in that movie they didn't quite know what they wanted to be, a
sure.
comedy movie or a
yep.
horror movie. Now, Zombieland, for some reason to me, seems
I
like
it
knows what it is. And I'm agreeing with you on something to look forward to on this movie. I just think that the tone is there. Maybe it's a slightly wackier
yep.
Premise, and so it'll work better.
Do you know it was originally pitched as a TV series?
No.
It was, I think, to CBS, and then they didn't pick it up, so they made it into a film. Consequently, that means they have a ton of material in their heads ready to go for sequels.
Okay.
So should a sequel be green-lighted, they're ready to go.
And this seems like a perfect movie for Woody Harrelson, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Although I did read that they tried a number of different leading men, tried to get them, and he was one of the last people to sign on to that.
Yeah,
so.
Sometimes.
Maybe that's not true. Maybe, I'm sorry, forget it. Scratch that. If we had a rewind button, you could push it. But
rewind selector. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. What else?
The other movie I'm looking forward to is interesting because I just got done saying I don't like my horror movies traditional. Well, I guess this isn't traditional. Anyway.
But you're stepping all over yourself today.
I know. It's not funny, I guess is what I'm saying. It's non-traditional, but it's definitely not funny. Yeah. The movie is Paranormal
wow.
Activity. And this is, you know, kind of one of the
playing
in
here
the
in the
vein,
cities, Jared. Playing,
I know it just opened this weekend, so I want to see that. Let's hear a summary of that. Is after a young middle class couple moves into what seems like a typical suburban starter tract home, They become increasingly disturbed by a presence that may or may not be somehow demonic, but it's certainly most active in the middle of the night, especially when they sleep.
Spooky.
Or try to.
Wow. Mm. You did a good job writing that, too.
Yeah, that was Paramount Pictures. So it's shot documentary style or mockumentary style. The lead guy has a camera, and he wants to document what's going on. So they set up a camera in their bedroom while they sleep to try to capture what happens. And apparently it's pretty damn scary. And there's a big twist at the end or something. And I've just been hearing really good stuff about it. I want to see it. And I have a clip. Jane.
Good.
Here we go. Projector starts up. It's like a plane.
I have camera on my girlfriend, Katie. She thinks there's something in the house. I don't know.
You believe me, right?
I think we're going to have a very interesting time capturing whatever paranormal phenomena is occurring or is not occurring.
Spooky.
Windows and locks. Doors and locks. Alarm is on.
Oh, yeah.
Finally.
It always works.
Something's here. I feel it breathing on me.
Footsteps in, but there's no footsteps out.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
If you do try to play games with it, that's inviting it in.
Uh-oh. I cut out a silent bark chain.
Nice.
Jeez, looks like something bit you.
It's not the house. It's me.
You cannot run from this. It will follow you.
I'm in control.
You're not in control. What's happening to me?
This thing left a message.
If it's not a ghost, what is it?
Sounds pretty spooky, doesn't it?
It's very. A lot of spooky sounds.
So, yeah. So, I want to see both of those movies, and I have an AMC card charged up and ready to go. So.
Wow. That movie, I think, was done in 2006.
Yep.
You know, sort of making the film festival rounds, and now it's kind of reaching critical mass. All over the place. I just read that the filmmakers that did this just got signed another deal to do a movie in the same style based on Area 51.
Well, that could be cool.
With a slightly larger budget of like $12 million versus $11,000 it took to do that movie.
Still exciting, though.
Yeah, it sounds like a very, you know, it's a very Blair Witchy thing. You and I always huge supporters of the Blair Witch Project, even though a lot of people hate on it, I don't understand. But
I've
they
only
do.
Seen it the one time. I own the DVD, but yeah. I've not watched it.
I watched
since.
It again, and I actually thought it held up. I thought it was spooky. Yeah. And granted, I probably watched it 3 months after we saw it the first time. But needless to say, anytime that people can do a lot with a little. You got to give them, props.
And, oh hell yeah!
And this,
you can hate it all you want, but you got to respect what they managed to pull off.
This,
you know,
movie,
no money, and then get distribution like that.
Good for them. Yeah, and this movie is not playing completely wide yet, but it is in select cities, and I think they're trying to get it all over the place. So hopefully, if you get a chance, go out.
It's
and
in
see
two theaters
it.
Locally now. So
very
Roseville
exciting.
And Edina.
Edina for the people that want to see it. Okay, Jared, good job, man. We really covered a lot of stuff, things that we're into, over, looking forward to. It's a great list. But guess what? We got a lot more show coming at you. Let's do that now.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds, the Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Play! There we go. So I heard this song in a Cadillac commercial, and I haven't been able to get out of my head. This is Phoenix with the song 1901. Coincidentally, Nobel Peace Prize or Nobel Prizes first given out in 1901. Look into it all you want.
Going, hey, it's not a miracle we need.
watch them build up a material tower. Think it's not gonna stay anyway. Think it's overrated. For a minute thought I couldn't tell. It's 20 seconds till the last call. Going hey, 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 hey. A lie now, you know it's easy. A life with it and all it's on alone. And I'll be anything you ask and more. Going hey, 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 hey. It's not a miracle we need it. And no, I wouldn't let you think so. Hold it, hold it.
More of The Scope, dead ahead.
Under the Scope.
Everybody, we're back. Jared and Shane running the show today. Under the Scope coming at you with news. Jared, the news mantle is passed over to you since Adam is not here. I want you to steer the ship just as competently and professionally as Adam does. So,
okay.
Take it away.
First story.
See?
I was trying to do an Adam there.
Okay.
That's pretty bad. Our lead story, humbled Obama wins Nobel Peace Prize. President Barack Obama won the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize on Friday in a stunning decision designed to encourage his initiatives to reduce nuclear arms. That's not nuclear, right?
They know.
Ease tensions with the Muslim world and stress diplomacy and cooperation rather than unilateralism. Blech. Big words.
Yeah, you're stumbling over them. Adam already chuckling.
Nobel observers were shocked by the unexpected choice so early in the Obama presidency, which began less than 2 weeks before the February 1st nomination deadline. Wow. That was fast. Yeah, I didn't realize that little trick there.
That's how much he's changing the world, Jared.
I guess so. The Norwegian Nobel Committee decided not to inform Obama before the announcement because it didn't want to wake him up. Committee Chairman Thorbjørn Jagland. Oh, goodness. Thorbjørn Jagland. There we go.
I like that.
That's a mouthful.
We better keep that one for our name of the show.
Right. Thorbjørn Jagland. Waking up a president in the middle of the night, this isn't really something you do, Jagland said. The Nobel Committee lauded the change in global mood wrought by Obama's calls for peace and cooperation, but recognized initiatives that have yet to bear fruit, reducing the world stock of nuclear arms, easing American conflicts with Muslim nations, and strengthening the U.S. role in combating climate change.
Oof.
So there you go. There's been a lot of outcry, I guess.
Not a surprise. No, a lot of controversy here in the United States. Oh, America, about this. Shockingly, right along partisan lines.
I guess I'm not surprised, but it's like, it's not a partisan award. He wasn't given because he was a Democrat.
Yeah.
So it's like, why do we have to bring partisan politics into it?
And was he given it for what he's accomplished in the country or what he's accomplished as president? I'm not really quite sure.
He wasn't given for what he has accomplished in this country. I think it's more about how he has improved our position with the rest of the world, and that's what I think a lot of people fail to look at. It's like he's and while I think it's probably too early to give it to him, since a lot of it is good intentions and we're still waiting for actual results, but you know, the fact that he's talking to Muslim nations, the fact that he's got this initiative to not just reduce but eliminate nuclear arms, mm-hmm. And he's got, you know, Russia and a lot of countries on board with this. The fact that he's going to, you know, is using diplomacy over just invading countries to get his things done. It's like,
and he's doing this, and he's not even an American citizen. I mean,
it's amazing.
That's how good he is.
It's amazing.
He's doing it for this country that he loves, but clearly has not been a part of. so, not legally a part of it.
I think it's the fact that he's trying to elevate this country to a nation that plays on the world stage and doesn't just say, nah, we're bigger than you, we're going to do what we want.
Which those days are ending.
That goes a long way with other countries. Well, it's something we were lacking previous to him.
Here's my opinion on it, Jared. I'm not going to get into my support or disdain for Barack Obama, but I will say this, and I said this to you yesterday. I don't care. I don't care if he won it in the sense, I mean, I think it's great, whatever, but, you know, he accepted the award humbly, like he should have.
It wasn't like he was lobbying for it or anything.
He didn't work to try to get it. They gave it to him. I think that they were clearly, his camp, clearly surprised that he got this. But it doesn't impact any work that he does here or his job as president. So for people to get their undies in a bundle about it, all they're doing is bitching about it.
Shane,
it's called sour grapes.
He has to travel to accept it.
Oh, my goodness.
Doesn't he have more important things to work on?
Yeah, like trying to get the Olympics. How dare he try to do that as well? Give me a break.
Next story. Are we done with this one?
Yeah, let's move on.
Racing fans limited to 24 beers a day.
Yes.
Adult fans at one of Australia's most popular motorsports races, the Bathurst 1000, will be limited to one slab of beer a day, or 24 375 milliliter cans.
Wow.
I don't know what that means because I'm an American. I have no understanding.
Let's just say it's a normal can.
Normal can. As police focus on reducing alcohol-related crime. 24, a slab. They actually have a term for that.
What if your name is
Paul Hogan? I guess we'd call that a case, wouldn't we?
If you're Paul Hogan, do you get double that just because he is a national treasure?
I would think so.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, special privileges.
That's a knife.
It's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife.
The 24-can rule would also be placed on mixed drinks for the V8 car race starting Thursday, which draws thousands to the rural town of Bathurst in eastern New South Wales state.
I have no idea where that is. I'm very U.S.-centric. I have no idea about other geography.
But more restrained spectators would be able to shake their thirst, if not their craving for alcohol, with up to 36 cans of low or mid-strength beer. So if you drink lower alcohol beer, you can have 36
These
of them.
People are just getting
36
wasted.
36 of them. I mean, your wife's been to Australia.
Yes.
She knows what it's like. Is it just drinking all the time?
They do like to drink in Australia. They do like to drink. But, you know, here's the thing is that they have very, very strict drinking and driving laws. So if you get caught, it's like you can't drive.
Yeah.
So people are very responsible in that sense.
Well, that's good.
But, boy, that's a lot of beer. I'm going to tell you.
But, Shane, if you're not into beer, wine lovers must make do with no more than 4 liters of cask wine per day, and combinations of the options would not be allowed. There you go.
I got. So what happens if you're over lager and you're drinking? Can you drink ales? Can you drink that much ale over there?
I think I could.
All right.
Sure.
Good, I like it.
I'm listening to one slab, though. I mean, that's I don't know if I could live under those restrictions.
Do you think that Australian people ever get over shrimp on the Barbie? Like, I'm over it, mate.
I don't think they were ever on it.
I love it.
They're into it. Throw another shrimp on the barbie.
We're over men at work.
We're over weird impressions of us in other countries. Shane, Walt Mossberg, he says Windows 7 narrows the gap with the Apple's Mac OS.
Yeah, I threw this in there just to anger you.
Let's see, where does this start? Walt Mossberg, the Wall Street Journal of the Wall Street Journal.
A lot of people say he's a Mac lover, by the way, but I think he's pretty fair.
I think he's
pretty fair.
He was given Microsoft Windows 7 a glowing review, noting that Microsoft's latest operating system is still behind Apple's Mac OS X, but not by much. A known Apple advocate, Mossberg's positive take on Windows 7 is a big change from Windows XP and Vista, both of which the columnist felt were vastly inferior to Mac OS X. I don't know much more you want me to read of this.
I don't think he's, for the record, I don't think he's some sort of Mac super lover. I think that he calls it the way he sees it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and he will spin the story for the average person. You know, if you do this, this system is good for you. If you don't use it, then maybe this will be good for you. So I that bugs me when they call him some sort of Apple lover, because he, I would say, 70% of the stuff he writes about has nothing to do with Apple, but what do you want? You know?
I've used both. Yeah, well, I actually can't say I haven't used the most recent Apple OS. I'm sure it's spectacular.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah. But I've used Windows 7 and it's pretty good.
Pretty nice.
I like it. I've only played with Vista a little bit. And it's not as bad as a lot of people like to make it out to, and maybe that's just because I tried it late in the game after it had been patched and updated and stuff like that. But
initially it was pretty rough.
It was an awful lot of still confirming to do things, and that was one of the primary annoyances. And XP is definitely showing its age.
Yeah.
We still use it I still have it on machines here. We use it at work still, but I believe once we start our upgrade cycle with new machines, we'll be moving to Windows 7. Nice. So I'm excited.
You know, speaking of the new Mac OS, I use the new QuickTime to clip up my sound clip for the B block.
We got to talk about that
a little. Well, it was quick and easy. It was a little sloppy. I wasn't sure if I liked it because whatever. We'll get into that later.
What was your source file? I'm just curious.
It was an MP3.
Okay. And somehow it ended up as an MPEG-4 video file.
Huh, weird.
I'm not sure what you did there. So I had to bring it into QuickTime and then export the audio and then save it again.
With the new QuickTime, you can't really export it to different formats. It's not there. You can export it to iPhone or you can export it to...
Yeah,
something else. It's really strange. I didn't know that was always
a feature of QuickTime Pro, but the new QuickTime has some features of Pro, but not all of
them. Yeah, that seems a little weird to me. Yeah. So we'll have to get on
that. Didn't I get you a sound program? Give you something?
You did, but it's not. I don't have it on that machine. Couldn't. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
We'll take it offline, Jared, as they say.
Shane analysts say, as game sales rise, PS3 to lead.
PS3, their new system style, selling very well, I bet.
The video game industry is poised to make a rebound, Wedbush Morgan Securities analyst Michael Patcher wrote in a note.
One of your favorites.
To clients on Thursday.
Your favorite analyst.
I follow his work intently. The analyst also predicted that it will be Sony's PlayStation 3 and not the Nintendo Wii that will lead console sales for the month when NPD releases figures next week. Yeah, what does that mean? Is Xbox still winning that? I don't even know.
Yeah, I'm assuming between Xbox and PS3 it's not even close, but...
Yeah, after six consecutive months of double-digit declines, we expect a return to double-digit sales growth on video game software, Patcher wrote to clients. We forecast sales of $750 million, up 21% compared to last year's $618 million. It's a good sign that after months of decline, the video game industry is finally rebounding.
Here's the thing, though, Jared. It's the last 6 months, they've had crap games out there. There's been nothing to buy. Of course it's going to rebound because this is when they backload all the great games into a tiny little time frame. So, of course, that's going to be the case. For the record, Madden, by the way, kind of the benchmark for selling terribly right now. That's way under what they need it to be. So, I don't know what to make of that. Although, there's some really good games coming out this Christmas. So, and Hanukkah.
Okay.
By the way, Jared, Uncharted 2 PS3 exclusive could be the game of the year. It's getting some of the best reviews I have ever seen. I'm going to download the demo.
What's that? Oh, I forget what
it's
name
kind of
it.
A Tomb Raider type of game. Tomb Raider meets Grand Theft Auto in terms of sandboxy type play.
It's supposed to be good.
Yep, supposed to be very good.
That's all I have for news.
Good job on the news, Jared. I think we did a great job with it overall. We always follow the news up with a little thing we like to call reviews. Jared got to read the news. I will get to read the review. It is a fan-requested review. Who requested it, Jared? Remember which fan it was? Was it Mike?
I forget. I don't know. Yeah.
If we're wrong, call in, write in, email us, let us know we're wrong. But this week we're taking a close look at the Abbott Brothers' new release, I and Love and You. And a lot of you probably haven't heard of them, so here is the background of the band. These guys are a folk rock band from Concord, North Carolina. They're made up of two brothers, Seth and Scott Abbott, who play the guitar and banjo. Banjo, Jared, was one of our first banjo reviews. Mm-hmm. And Bob Crawford, who also plays a stand-up bass. Risen from the ashes of Seth and Scott's former rock band Nemo, the Abbott Brothers combine bluegrass, country, pop, punk, medleys, folk, rock and roll, honky-tonk, and ragtime. So almost everything except rap goes into this, and heavy metal. To produce a sound described by the San Francisco Chronicle as having the heavy sadness of Townes Van Zandt, the light pop concision of Buddy Holly, the tuneful jangle of the Beatles, Jared, so you must love them, and the raw energy of the Ramones.
The tuneful jangle of the Beatles, Shane. I mean, how many bands does that describe?
I've never heard that. Tuneful jangle. The group itself eschews labels, feeling that none would do the music the justice. It's simply left up to each person to extract his or her own account of the music. Their live performance showcases their use of three-part harmony and southern rock feel. They're noted for being intense, energetic, and soulful. By the way, Rolling Stone named them the artist to watch of 2009. So that's pretty good. Their new album, I and Love and You, was released September 29th, not that long ago.
Yep.
We got a few clips of it. Clip one is the title track.
It is.
I and Love and You. Hit it.
For never to return. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Are you aware the shape I'm in? My hands, they shake my head.
Ah, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in.
Not a lot of banjo on that one.
No, I'm bummed out. Maybe clip two will have some banjo. This is the song Kick Drum Heart.
Of course, I switched away.
That's all right.
I'm a dumbass.
The song is Kick Drum Heart.
What was that, Shane?
Dev, this clip two is from a song called Kick Drum Heart. Nice.
Interesting. Neither one of those songs really sounded like the folk rock that they say they are. I guess maybe the first one.
Yeah, a little bit. So that is our sampling of the Abbott Brothers, I and Love and You. Jared,
yeah.
Let's either anger or make our fans love us for this one. What did you think of this album?
You know, it was kind of middle of the road for me. I don't really get into folk rock a lot, so maybe that I just call it my
impression. You're not the audience, is what you're saying.
You know, I like the lead-off song, I'm Loving You. I think it has, you know, a nice message, and it's pretty.
Pretty.
And I like the more upbeat songs, one of which is the, you know, Kick Drum Heart, I think, and It Spread is another one that was a nice upbeat song. But the slower, I guess, more folky stuff, I don't know. It was all right, but it didn't really move me. It's not something I would find myself coming back to. Production is good. I mean, you've got Rick Rubin on as producer, so it sounds really good. You know, and I like the arrangements and everything, and the harmonies are nice. But you know, overall, it's just middle of the road for me.
Yeah, I think that this band itself, in terms of their skills, are quite good. And maybe you give Ruben the credit on there for making it sound good. But I clearly think these guys know what they're doing, and the musicality of the album in general was impressive.
Yes.
But like you say, I'm not a folk rock guy. I think Al, our music critic, might be more apt to rate this one in terms of where it sits in that type of genre. So, you know, I'm a pop guy, and I'm right there with you. The upbeat songs, and I think there were two or three of them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, these are not too shabby. They fall into what I love. A little. They tended to be heavier on piano, so there was a bit of a Ben Folds vibe on there, which, you know, one of my favorite bands ever, so, or guys slash bands. So I'm totally in for that. But the slower stuff kind of sounded a little similar to me across the board, very soulful, but not my thing. I think the message is there. The feeling, the emotion, and the energy when needed is there, but it's just not something that I would go back to all the time. So if you like this kind of thing, yeah. I think it's something you should check out. If it isn't, you know, sample it on iTunes and get a feel for it before you dive in.
Agreed.
Let's give it a score.
The Scope score is 2.25 stars.
So just a touch above average.
Touch above average. And I just want to throw this out there. If you guys want to continue to send us things to review, we absolutely will do that, because it's a lot of fun and exposes us to different genres, different things to take a look at. And never know, we might be pleasantly surprised, or we might completely destroy your pick and lose one of our 8 listeners. So
I'm thinking the latter is probably
more likely. That's how we like to roll here. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Under the Scope is 3 parts, Jared. We are finally to the 3rd part, coming soon.
Damn, this one's going to be short.
Yeah,
that's good, though.
We're doing a good job here. We've got a bunch of stuff coming out. We are in the heart of buying season, Jared. I know people aren't spending a lot of money nowadays, but there's still a lot of product out there to be had, and we're going to educate you guys as to what's coming. Let's start with music, as we often do. October 13th brings us a bunch of things. I've got 6 things listed, Jared.
Okay.
We're going to start with the album I know you're going to spend full price for and probably buy a lot of copies for all your friends.
It's Kenny Loggins, right?
Nope, close.
Nope.
David Archuleta's Christmas Christmas from the Heart. So these are all David Archuleta's favorite Christmas songs.
Has he had an album prior to this already?
Yes, he has, okay. And I think he had one.
I don't think you want to lead off with the Christmas album.
One or two songs. Also, we've got something from Five for Fighting, their new album Slice. Flaming Lips, Embryonic. I love the Flaming Lips. I'm hoping that This is a good one.
I don't know. They were on Colbert a couple weeks back, and I didn't quite get what they were doing. So
they moved a little bit away from their slightly more mainstream stuff, their last couple albums, and this one is going to go bizarro again.
Probably.
Huh? That's a bummer. I believe the James Fallon's house band, The Roots, How I Got Over. They got a new album coming out. Jared's favorite female performer, Shakira, with She-Wolf. By the way, Shakira, I think, is, you know, I think she's a terrible singer. I'm just going to tell you, I hate her voice. I fight with my wife about this all the time. I think she's got a hot body, but boy, I cannot stand her English voice. Her English songs at all. Actually, her Spanish songs, I don't like that much either. But
yeah,
I agree. It. She sort of has this weird warble. And finally, Those Who Lie Beneath have an album called An Awakening. The band sounds vaguely familiar to me, so I just threw it in there. October 20th, I've got three things here, Jared.
Yep.
Julian Casablancas from The Strokes has got a solo album, Phrases for the Young. Everybody in The Strokes has a solo album, but the bastards can't get together and put together a band album.
What's his solo stuff like? Is it any good?
I have no idea. This might be his first solo album, actually.
I think it might be his third.
The guitarist, you think it's his third one?
I think he's had a few,
The guitarist has had two albums.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Flight of the Conchords has their second major release here called I Told You I Was Freaky. Hopefully to be connected with some rock band songs, because they're doing some rock band songs as well. And another rock band artist just joined the group called Electric Six, have an album called Kill coming out. Electric Six did the song Danger High Voltage. Movies for October 16th, we've got three.
Not sure that makes it any more clear to me, but that's all right.
Yeah, you've probably heard the song, but it's just by naming it. Probably not so much. Law Abiding Citizen, The Stepfather, and a movie that Jared is not looking forward to, but I am. A Stepfather remake, by the way. Where the Wild Things Are, Spike Jonze's take.
I'll probably see it.
Read a really interesting thing about this movie. When they first did it, they weren't sure if they were going to have the main wild things have movable faces, you know, that they were just going to be in costume.
Yeah.
And they filmed it. It didn't look right at all, so they went back and then added movable computer faces to all the characters, and then they were kind of in questioning whether they should do it with all the background characters as well. That didn't look right, so they added it to everything. So it's really kind of state-of-the-art, cutting-edge stuff. I'm really excited for that. I'm excited for this one. I think this could be a really good movie.
I'm just always concerned when the source material is so small and short. How do they make it?
I will tell you that the author, and I can't remember his name for the life of me, said he wanted Spike Jonze to do this movie. He wanted him to take it in the appropriate directions outside of the story, and he was really, really excited about it. So I'm hoping that means good things. Speaking of good things, October 23rd brings us the sixth installment in the Saw saga. I think we've covered like four Saw movies on the scope. I mean, and I've never seen one of them. I don't care to see any of them. The other movies we got coming out the 23rd, Oscar potential with Hilary Swank / Horsefaces, Amelia.
Yeah,
she looks Amelia quite a Earhart. Bit like Amelia Earhart.
Yeah,
by the way,
it's uncanny.
We've got Astro Boy starring,
which I couldn't care less about,
the voice talents of Nick Cage.
Don't care.
And we've also got Cirque de Freak, the vampire's assistant.
I think I care about that less than I care about Astro Boy.
I know. Capitalizing on a British series of books, which more than likely there will not be a series of movies on this because it looks terrible.
It
John
looks
C.
Really
Reilly
bad.
Playing the main character. It looks like a train wreck. No two ways about it. It looks terrible.
Maybe there's enough fans of the books. They're just making anything vampire related.
You know,
now.
You think the fans are saying, "Boy, lead character for that? That's got to be John C. Reilly." And then they see the trailer. They're like, "Hey, it's like my dream cast."
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a joke. The trailers. What do I know? DVDs for September 13th. We've got the Sam Raimi, a highly acclaimed movie, Drag Me to Hell, finally
hits.
Jared's favorite TV show of all time, Girlfriend Season 7, hits on September 13th.
We never get sick of Girlfriend references, do we?
Happy Birthday to Me. I believe that's a horror movie hitting on September 13th. Earl would know that. Jackass the Lost Tape, so more outtakes and the stuff from Jackass. Will Ferrell's Land of the Lost.
Oh, boy.
And speaking of Stepfather, the original hits on September 13th as well.
Probably another release of it. Hasn't it been out already?
I don't know if it has or not. October 20th has two notable releases. We've got Numbers Season 5. That's been out for 5 seasons. I can't believe it.
I don't know.
And a movie.
Sits around Friday nights and just keeps chugging along, I guess.
And speaking of something that Jared and I will be buying for all of our friends, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen comes out.
I thought you were talking about cock rings.
Wow. Finally, video games for the week of October 11th. We've got something I just mentioned. Uncharted 2, Among Thieves, hits for PlayStation 3. The Jack Black voiced Brutal Legends, hits for PS3 and 360.
Wow.
Pokemon Mystery Dungeon, Explorers of the Sky, hits
on
DS. Jared and I bought a color Game Boy to get Pokemon.
I played through most of the game that I bought.
Yep. And Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games, hits for the Wii and DS. And the following week of the 18th of October, FIFA 10 hits for every system imaginable.
Have you played a FIFA game recently?
Not recently, but they say this game is quite good, but what do you want? Borderlands, another post-apocalyptic type thing, hits for the 360 and PS3. WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 2010 hits for about every system imaginable.
Woo-hoo.
Another PlayStation 3 exclusive, Ratchet & Clank Future, A Crack in Time, hits on the PS3.
Have they had any luck creating new like mascot character games recently?
Not recently, no. And the cheeky Marvel Superhero Squad hits on all of the lower systems, including Wii, PS2, PSP, and DS. Kind of a little caricature, big-headed version of the Marvel characters.
Okay. The toys works on small screens. I get
toys it. Are kind of popular. And I think that covers all of our coming soon, Jared. That's quite a list
here.
Wow.
Lot
to pick from everybody.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Everybody.
There's a lot of stuff to buy there for your loved ones and bosses at work. And
Stepfather remake for everyone. That's what
people.
I say. So thank you, Jared. That is Under the Scope.
Under the Scope.
Guess what? This is time for Jared to shine. It's our last block of the night.
Shining. Makeup. I don't want to shine.
Jared, tell me what's going on.
We've got one comment that came in. We got a couple, but it was more of a conversation there. So I'm just going to read the one. Steve writes in and says, "Great show, guys. Just wanted to give you a heads up. The cop in Parks and Recreation is a comedian named Louis C.K. Funny guy. Keep up the good work, and happy birthday, Jay."
Yay!
Still,
you did it.
Still birthday wishes for me.
You did it.
Yeah, I knew as soon as he said that was like Louis C.K. I'm like, yeah, of course it is.
You put it together.
And he's really funny. He's like the best addition to the show.
I haven't seen it, but I believe you.
Okay.
I believes you.
It's a good show. That's it for comments. If you have stuff you want to write in, you can write in.
wow.
And then
when Adam's not here, it falls apart.
You can do that. And then, anyway, write to comments at thescopeshow.com. You can call the voicemail line at 646-495-9201.
Oh, I like it. If you put it to a tune, do you think people are actually going to call in?
I was just reminded of a sequence on the IT Crowd, the UK show, where they have this. The joke is that they've come up with a new emergency services number that's like not 999 or whatever it is in the UK. It's this really, really long string of numbers, and they came up with this catchy theme song to help you remember it. And it's like got to be 24 digits long or something. So it's funny, and I think they set that up in season one, and then season three, one of the characters, Moss, has to call it, and he starts singing the song again.
Yeah,
they do a good job of callbacks. Anyway,
good stuff. Good stuff.
You can join our Facebook fan page, or you can follow us on Twitter. We are The Scope Show on Twitter. I noticed we got a new review in iTunes, Shane.
Uh-oh.
Another 4-star positive review.
4 stars.
And might have gotten another couple ratings, too. So keep up that, folks. We love it when you talk about us.
5 stars.
And stuff.
5 stars.
Don't forget to encourage your friends to listen, too.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
So I've got a couple show notes here. First of all, I want to let everyone know that looks like Jared and I are going to be participating in the John Norton Super Podcast, Zero Hour with John Norton.
ZeroHourPodcast.com.
For if you want to listen to some Minnesota versus New York City sports talk, because I'm sure he being in New York City right now.
And by that day, we may know
where the Yankees stand with the Minnesota Twins. Yeah. And they're going to brag. And Jared and I are going to fight like tigers, like cage tigers, because that's what we do. So that'll be a good show. We always have a good time joining John and company on their production.
Any idea what the topics are other than possibly, regional rivalries of sports?
No idea. He usually gets to us a little bit later or earlier in the week. I hope he gives us something. The other thing is for the Scope Show number 83, we've got a brand new subject.
Holy cow.
And the topic of the show is going to be what the kids are into.
Jared
and Adam and myself, we don't want to sound like we're too out of touch with what the kids are into because we're reviewing these fancy Abbott Brothers and... we're talking about snobby music like the Flaming Lips.
The Beatles, they're old
and the Beatles. So we're going to try to get into some of the things that we believe that the kids are paying attention to.
Oh, yeah.
Jared, I'm going to give you a choice of one of two things to review.
I'm being assigned.
And this is beneficial to you because whichever one you don't pick goes to Adam.
Sweet.
So, Jared, you...
Obviously, you took first crack.
I'll tell you everyone I'm listening what I will be reviewing. I will be reviewing the Nickelodeon live-action comedy show called iCarly. Very, very popular with the tween set. It's good stuff. And it's funny, my daughter is kind of young, and she will not... She will say, I don't want to watch iCarly. She always makes me turn it off. So I haven't actually seen it, but it does star Miranda... Cosgrove. She was the snobby girl in School of Rock. You know, the one that was like the band manager. Oh, she didn't play any of the instruments. She's all grown up, and she's in a show called iCarly. The other two things that we will be taking a look at for the next show will be the the new album. Not the new album.
That was really gay.
Thank you. The album currently ripping up the charts by Taylor Swift. People love Taylor Swift. And the CW show, The Vampire Diaries. So, Jared, which show or CD would you like to review?
I'm going to take Taylor Swift.
Jared is taking Taylor Swift. That means Adam Sitnick is going to be taking a crack at The Vampire Diaries. I will be doing iCarly. So I think it's going to be a very interesting show. I don't see a lot of 4-star reviews coming out of those. So write it down.
So we have to write it from our own perspective, not why we think. Okay.
No, just treat them as reviews.
Treat them as a normal review.
As a normal review. You know, if you happen to like it, hey, good for you.
Awesome.
Be prepared to be bludgeoned to death by our super hipster fans. But we'll just let it roll. That's all I got to say. So next show, 83, what the kids are into. It's going to be a good time.
Awesome.
And I got nothing else to plug, Jared. Episode 82 is behind us. I want to thank Jared for working hard. Adam and the rest of us will be back next time. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
646-495-9201, extension 70055.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
buenos dias.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.